the praise. Give them glory. Give them glory.
We
come to clap our hands and give them praise.
Let everything that has breath praise be the Lord.
We come to do our dance and magnify Him. We come to do our dance and give you praise. Can you help me say? We come to do our dance and magnify Him.
Yes, God, we do.
We come to do our dance and give Him praise.
Give Him glory.
Give Him glory. Give Him glory. We come to do our dance and give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him glory.
Mighty God.
Yes, God,
you are a big God to us, Lord. Thank you so much, God. The plans you have for us, Lord, to prosper, Lord. Hallelujah. Give us peace, hope, Lord. Hallelujah.
My God. My God, plans for me goes beyond my wildest dreams. My God, is big, so strong, so mighty, My God, plans for me, goes beyond.
Beyond my wildest dreams,
my God.
There's nothing my God cannot do. Can you help me say that?
There's nothing my God cannot do.
Sing it with conviction, y'all.
There's nothing my God cannot do.
Let's try it in part. Hey.
There's nothing my God cannot do.
Hey, if you believe that.
There's nothing my God cannot do.
He can heal the sick and raise the dead, y'all.
There's nothing my God cannot do.
He can open doors nobody can close.
There's nothing my God cannot do.
He can sustain you, y'all.
There's nothing my God cannot do.
He's a keeper, yes, he is.
There's nothing my God cannot do.
We believe in God, yes.
There's nothing my God cannot do.
So strong and so mighty. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for being mighty in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for being mighty in our lives, Lord God. For being strong in our lives, Lord God. Day after day, Lord God. You are a big God. You are a great God. You are everything we need, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. I think about this next song, and I make it so personal, because he has been everything I need and more. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful to you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I bless your name, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you could just lift your hands and worship. Take the time to reflect. The next song is called I Am. I think that's God's personal statement to us that wherever we need, when we need it, God says, I can be that. I am that. And Lord, we thank you for that this morning, God. Such a great declaration to make. It's hope, Lord God, for when we don't understand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We bless and honor you, Lord God. Come on, let's sing. I am.
I have everything I need.
Think about what you're singing.
I have everything I need.
Thank you, God.
I have everything I need.
The great I am.
The great I am. Provide for me. The great I am. Provide for me.
Can we sing that one more time? Say,
I have everything I need.
Even when you don't know what you need, he knows.
I have everything I need.
Thank you, Lord God.
I have everything I need. The great I am, provide for me. The great I am, provide for me.
Say you are.
You are my strength when I am weak.
Let the weak say I'm strong.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are my strength when I am weak. The great I am, provide for me. The great I am, provide for me.
We thank you, Lord, because
the great I am, that I am,
is everything.
Is everything. everything.
Yes, you are God.
That I need.
Hallelujah.
The bread I am.
Yes, God.
That I am.
Yes.
It is more than enough for me.
Yes. You're whatever I need
to be.
Place, glory to God. For your word declares you to be the great I am. Hallelujah. You're whatever your people need. Hallelujah. Whenever we need it, glory to God. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence, for your power that fills this place today. Glory to God. We thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you've allowed our spirits to receive, even our hearts to feel as we have entered into worship in this place today. Glory to God. Father God, we thank you for the word that we are about to receive, for the nourishment of our spiritual men, the nourishment of our spiritual women. Glory to God. And Father God, we thank you that we are good ground, that we are ready to receive what thus said to you by way of your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you now that you do go before the word, that you do quicken us in our innermost beings today, so that we can spiritually discern and receive with meekness everything that the Word is sharing with us in this place today. Father God, we thank you that there is no satanic hindrance in this place today that will hinder the free flow of your Word. We thank you we are blessed, that is, we are empowered to prosper your way as we receive your Word again on good ground, that good ground being our hearts. Holy Spirit, we thank you now that as I stand to be used by you, glory to God, we thank you that you do stand up in our body, that you do think with our mind, that you do speak with our mouth, that you do flow through us to say and do in this place everything that Abba, our Father, and Jesus, our Lord, desire us or desire for you to say and do through us in this place today. Father God, we thank you that your Word has free course in this place today. And Father God, we thank you that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all who agree with that prayer said, amen. Well, come on, let's bless the Lord in this place. Bless the Lord in your homes. Glory to God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Glory to God. In everything we give thanks, because that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Somebody say amen. Well, good morning, friendship. Good morning, social media friends and family. The psalmist declared, this is the day that the Lord has made. Say this with me. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Surely the Lord is in this place. This is none other than the house of the Lord, the very gateway to heaven. Amen. Amen. Well, we thank God for our worship team. They're here and strong. We thank God for all of our musicians. They are here and strong. And the only thing that's missing is you. Amen. Those of you who are not here. We're just believing God at some point that some folks who need to repent up in high places will repent, and that the Lord will move this virus pandemic away from us, and we'll be able to assemble again in the house of the Lord as a family fellowship of believers. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're in part three of our teachings entitled The Word or Words. Somebody say words. Specifically how words impact our lives. Just for brief introductions, we said that the words that we're focusing on during this series are expressions or utterances or the spoken word. Somebody say amen. Now, we did say that we're talking about words that we speak, words that we hear, not exclusively the Word of God, but we're also talking about other words as well. Somebody say amen. Now, we know that as it relates to the Word, we have two Greek words that describe the Word. One is logos. Logos refers to the written word. And then there's another Greek word entitled rhema. And rhema has to do with the written word spoken. Somebody say amen. So not only will we deal with the words that we speak, the words that we hear, we will also deal with logos and rhema, if you will. Amen. We said the basic premise for this teaching was to illustrate to us how words, that is spoken words or words that we hear, impact our lives and the way that we live. Amen. We said that our goals for this teaching was to provoke us to thought concerning what we hear, concerning what we are hearing, concerning the thoughts that we, or it's number two, the goal is to provoke us to thought in the area of what we say. Amen. Number three, the goal of this teaching, or the goals of this teaching, is to provoke us to thought concerning who we allow to speak in our lives. Amen. And then we talked about how we receive words. We said that, one, we receive words through conversations. And two, we receive words through communications. Communications being media, teachings, preachings, song lyrics, etc. Amen. And then we said, why should we listen to words? We listen to words because words educate us. Say educate us. Or bring us into knowledge in particular areas. Specifically, natural education and to spiritual education. Amen. And then, glory to God, last week we talked about, glory to God, how words can liberate us. They liberate us. Jesus said we'll know truth in the form of his word, and truth will what? Make us free. Amen. We define the word liberate as to set free, glory to God, as from imprisonment or from bondage. Amen. And then we started talking about the greatest liberator of all times. And we understand that he is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We said that he used basically two methods to free people. One, the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus because he was anointed, glory to God, to do particular things. Amen. And we said that the other method that he used was teaching and preaching that being spoken words. Amen. And then we talked about the classes of people that he liberated. Somebody say liberated. And I think we need to go back there for a second. Luke chapter 4, verse number 18, the New King James Translation. Somebody say amen. Real quick, the Holy Spirit dealt with me a little further as it relates to the classes of people that he liberated. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus because he was anointed to preach the gospel, one, to the poor. Say poor. Class number one, poor. Somebody say poor. Poor people, poor in spirit, poor physically, or people that did not have enough to do the things that they needed to do. Somebody say amen. He has sent me, Jesus said, to heal the brokenhearted. Somebody say brokenhearted. Now we said basically that those people were emotionally scarred people. Somebody say amen. After further discussion with the Holy Spirit, I need to add something. Brokenhearted people can be people with broken mindsets. Somebody say broken mindsets. We determine from our teachings on the heart, that the heart is the part of the man or the woman, according to scriptures, that think, feels, and make decisions. Amen. So our thinking, the way that we feel emotions, the way that we make decisions are broken in a lot of instances, or we move away from the word of God as relates to how we think, how we feel, and how we make decisions. Somebody say amen. That started way back in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord, they set us up to be living or to live in a fallen world. And in the fallen world, people have grown further and further away from the ways of God. And we understand that that comes out of broken mindsets. Us not thinking the way that God desires us to think. Amen. God has his way of thinking. The world has its way of thinking. The world is governed by Satan, which means that the world thinks in most cases, probably ought to say in all cases, diametrically opposed to God. Somebody say, diametrically opposed to God. Now, in most instances, or in a lot of instances, when we use the term word, we're not always talking about people. Somebody say people. A lot of times when we use the term word, we're talking about present age. Somebody say present age. And then, for the most part, we're talking about a system. The word system is a system that operates in opposition to God. Amen. So we're talking about, in this particular case, the world being the system that operates contrary or diametrically opposed to the word of God. And then the third class of folks are folks who are in bondage. The scripture says that Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Those are mentally in bondage and physically in bondage, and the recovery of sight to the blind, those blind people being physically blind people, and those who are spiritually blind. Then he said to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Somebody say oppressed. And that's where we hung our hat last week. as it relates to oppressing or oppressed people. Amen. We gave you a definition for the term oppressed, the term oppressed meaning to burden with cruel or unjust imposition or restraint. Amen. And while it's on my mind, I said when I was in my passionate teaching that Thomas Jefferson signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and I know that's wrong, and you know that's wrong too. That's probably why nobody called me on that. Somebody say, "Amen." We understand that it was Abraham Lincoln, amen. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves in writing, if you will. Somebody say, "Amen." So the term oppressed, meaning to burden with cruel or unjust imposition or restraint. We also said that the word oppressed means subject to burdensome or harsh exercise of authority or power. And then we gave you a definition for the word imposition because we didn't want you to try to figure it out. We said that, and most of us already know what it means. It means the laying on of something as a burden or obligation. It also means something imposed. Somebody say impose. When somebody impose something on you, they do it against your will in most cases. Somebody say amen. And we also said the imposition was as a burden or duty or an obligation. Amen. And then we went from there and we started talking about slavery and how it was an imposition to the African-American people and how the residue of slavery still somewhat plagues us today. Amen. As it relates to the different systems that were set in place by way of mindsets, and some of those mindsets still operate in the earth realm today, and we have to continuously work on changing those mindsets, if you will. Somebody say amen. We gave you the definition of the word restraints. How do we work on those mindsets? Let me back up. The word of God would be one. We margin, we demonstrate the fact that we don't like the way we are being treated in the 21st century. And we also work on changing laws and those kind of things. Somebody say amen. We even rallied together to get different statues, if you will, that lends to slavery and different names on military facilities that lends to slavery. We're trying to get those things removed because they remind us of a cruel time in the lives of African Americans. Somebody say amen. Now you might not like what I'm getting ready to say now. I'm going to say it anyway because it needs to be said. Even though I'm in agreement with statues being removed, even though I'm in agreement with names being changed on buildings, all that stuff don't change hearts. It don't change hearts. What needs to happen, and here again, I'm for all that stuff being removed, what needs to happen is folks need to have an encounter with the Lord, amen. Not an encounter with religion, but an encounter with the Lord so that the Lord can change their hearts, glory to God, change their hearts by way of the supernatural Holy Ghost and by way of His Word so that we can all get on the same page as it relates to people. Somebody say people. All of us are made in His image and in His likeness. None of us are no better than the other ones as it relates to how God sees us. Somebody say amen. We're all precious in His sight. Somebody say amen. There's no inferior or superior person as it relates to being in Christ Jesus. And if we can get everybody's mindset fixed in that direction, maybe a lot of this racist, oppressive, inferior type thinking will be dissolved, if you will. Somebody say amen. So we got to cry out loud, preachers, and spare not, amen. We got to teach people what thus said the Lord, whether the congregation is black or white, amen. Hispanic or Chinese, amen. We got to teach people what thus said the Lord so that the people of God can impact the people in the world, amen. And then perhaps some of this stuff will be broken up. Somebody say amen. Now, I need to stay on oppression for a while. Somebody say amen. We did talk about institutional or systemic racism last week as well. It's alive and well. Somebody say alive and well. How is it still alive and well? Mindsets. There's mindsets in I can't say all institutions, but in a lot of institutions that still lend to the fact that because of the color of our skin, we're supposed to only go so far in this world. Somebody say amen. And that has to be changed. I go as far as my mind will carry me, amen. The Bible says that God desires that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers, amen. I go as far as my money will take me, if you will, amen. I live where my money allows me to live, et cetera, amen. The color of my skin shouldn't have anything to do with how far I rise up, amen, or where I live. Somebody say amen. So this, I'm calling it nonsense. This nonsense has to stop. You know, I look at stuff on Facebook, and I didn't know I was going to get stuck here again this morning, but I'm here, and I'm going to stay until the Lord moves me. I look at stuff on Facebook where I think I might have mentioned this last week, where some evil police officers do evil things to African-American people. Amen. And I look sometime, and I begin to think a lot of times African-Americans are told to stop resisting. Stop resisting. And I wonder, are they resisting the police officer, or are they really resisting oppressive behavior? We got to learn how to submit to authority. Some things might not happen to us. I said might not happen to us if we submit to authority. But a lot of times we're not resisting the authority as much as we are resisting oppressive behavior, amen. And I don't think that our counterparts will really understand that until we can sit down at the table and talk about it. Use the intellect, words to share. This is what we're really saying when we say take your foot off of our neck. We're saying we're tired of you with your foot on our necks, keeping us from going to places in the earth where God desires us to go, amen. And I know there are some people who are listening to me disagree with me based upon how far they've gone. And we praise God for your achievements. But the playing ground needs to be fair for everybody. Somebody say amen. Back in my day when I worked, I went up through the ranks, and it wasn't because I had all the education that I needed. It was because of hard work. We were promoted back in the day as it relates to in corporate America by hard work. I mean, I went from washing trucks to running the department where the trucks were dispatched, amen. And I went from there to middle-level management in the place or the circulation department in the newspaper that I worked in, amen. But it wasn't because I had all the educational credentials to do so, amen. It was because of hard work. And it was because of the hand of the Lord being on my life. Amen. Now it takes education. Somebody say education. And then it gets a little bit disheartening, a lot of the millennials, because the education don't always get them where they thought it was going to carry them. Amen. Sometimes they say it's not what you know, it's who you know. Amen. So we got to get to the place where we can help one another climb the ladder, if you will. Somebody say amen. Does that make sense to you? Amen. Amen. So we got to step on oppression. Somebody say oppression a little bit longer. Now I want you to know that I'm not saying anything to make anybody angry. That's not my goal. It's knowledge. It's awareness. Awareness so that we can move forward. Somebody say amen. Or at least try to move forward. Somebody say amen. Now today I'm going to pick up on oppression as it relates to the types of oppression. Somebody say amen. There are basically two types of oppression, maybe even three types of oppression that I want to talk about today. Number one is physical oppression. Somebody say physical oppression. Physical oppression is where people oppress people, if you will. It has to do with the body being oppressed, or it's where social groups oppress social groups, if you will. Somebody say amen. And then there is mental oppression. That's oppression in the mind, glory to God. When I was thinking through this before I got here this morning, I thought about economic oppression. Somebody say economic oppression. And the Bible speaks to this, and we all need to go there. The Bible speaks to this in James chapter 2, verse number 6, where people with wealth use their wealth to oppress people that didn't have wealth. Amen. They wanted to keep the class of people who were oppressed in a place where their economics or their economic prowess or their economic station or state in life didn't raise up to theirs. Amen. Or status, stage or status. Somebody say amen. And that still happens today. Amen. Not all wealthy folks are evil. I need to say that again. Not all wealthy folks are evil. But there are some wealthy folks that are evil. Amen. And they will use their wealth to keep people in the class that they desire them to be so that those people won't raise up to their class of living, if you will. Amen. So there is economic oppression as well. Amen. Let's back up and let's look at some types of physical oppression. There's racial oppression. That's where one class of folk or one group of folk oppress another group of folks. And a lot of times that's based on color. Somebody say amen. And then there is class oppression. Somebody say class oppression. That's where, you know, I talked about the poor being a class just a few minutes ago. That's where one class keeps another class under, if you will. Amen. And then there is gender oppression. That's where males, in some cases, and females are kept from getting to different places that they desire to get to in life. Amen. And then there's sexuality oppression. Somebody say sexuality. That's where people are kept from going to different statuses in life because of their sexual preferences. Somebody say amen. Now, I want to preface what I'm getting ready to say next with this statement. I love all people. Somebody say all people. But I have a problem with the gay lifestyle based upon it going against the order of God. Somebody say order of God. And I want to make it clear what I mean when I say that. Two men cannot replenish. Two women cannot replenish. God created us male and female for three purposes. Maybe two or three. He wanted us to have dominion. He wanted us to be fruitful and multiply. And then he wanted us to replenish the earth. Amen. And when male and female, or when male and male get together, there's no reproduction. And when female and female get together, there's no reproduction. So that's my biggest problem with the gay lifestyle, if you will. Amen. I'm not a gay basher. I love gay people. I've loved gay people for as long as I can remember. There were gay people in my family. I didn't even know they were gay, and I loved them. Somebody say amen. And then when they used to call it come out the closet. When they came out the closet, we still love them. But however, that has nothing to do with the fact that the lifestyle hinders God's order. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So there's sexuality oppression. And then there's institutionalized oppression. Institutionalized. Somebody say institutionalized. Let's hang out there for a minute. Somebody say amen. I could give you a simple definition of institutional oppression, but let me give you the long one, and then I'll make it simple, and then we'll move on from there. Amen. Institutional oppression is the systematic. There's a system. Somebody say system. The systematic mistreatment of people within a social identity group supported and enforced by the society and its institutions solely based on the person's membership in the social identity group. Does that make sense to you? Well, to make it simple, social groups mistreat people because of who they are by way of skin color. Somebody say amen. That's the issue. Somebody say issue. I remember talking about the 13th Amendment last week. I don't know what all it said, but I do remember that it had a lot to do with the slaves being freed in words, but not being freed in actions. Somebody say in actions. So that was a system in place that kept African Americans down even back then, and here again it has run over into the 21st century by way of mindset. Somebody said, amen. The term institutions has to do with organizations, establishments, foundations, society, or the like, devoted to the promotion of a particular cause or program, especially one of a public, educational, or charitable character. Somebody say amen. For example, we have institutional oppression in the government by way of laws, et cetera, et cetera. We have institutional oppression in corporate America by way of procedures or systems that's in corporate America, sometimes unwritten or non-written, that keeps different classes of people from moving up to the place where they could if they were treated fairly. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit told me that there's even some institutional oppression in the church. And I had to listen to him a while on that one, because I'm saying, in the church? Yes. In the church, sometimes people are not allowed to promote because of their choices. Somebody say choices. Or who they are. Somebody say amen. And then sometimes there are teachings that keep us oppressed, if you will, in the church. When the church should be an organization where people are liberated. The good news liberate. Somebody say liberate. I've learned this past week that there's basically two systems that work in the Bible. One is the system of law. Somebody say system of law. Law is where you do everything that God tells you to do in order to be blessed by Him, in order to receive His promises, etc., etc. And then there's the system of the Spirit. Somebody just say the Spirit. That's the system where we're liberated by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're liberated to do anything that we basically want to do. Amen. But we have to remember that everything that we do might not be to our advantage. Somebody say amen. But we're liberated nonetheless. And we need to teach folk that they're liberated. Amen. We need to teach folk that sometimes their decisions can carry them back to a place of bondage. But we need to teach folk that they're liberated. Somebody say amen. We have been set free. The word declares that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Somebody say amen. Not just liberty to shout. Not just liberty to run, amen. But we've been set free from anything and everything that can harm us in the earth realm, amen. Again, decisions are made sometimes that hurt us. We make our own personal decisions that hurt us sometimes, and sometimes other people make decisions that hurt us intentionally, but we're still free people. Somebody say free people. And nobody can take that freedom away from us. Amen. So we talk about institutional oppression, which is a physical oppression, if you will. Somebody say amen. The man or the woman is being oppressed by the system. Somebody say amen. And then there's mental oppression. Somebody say mental oppression. A mental oppression can be oppression by way of disease, schizophrenia, oppress people mentally. Can't do all that they would do if they didn't have that disease plaguing them mentally, amen. Can't go everywhere that they would go because they have that disease plaguing them, amen. And then there's bipolar. That's the bipolar disease. Somebody say amen. I think I might have been bipolar at one time, amen. Because I could be walking upright, and the next thing you know, I'm going from 0 to 100, amen, and cussing everything that's in my path, amen. Went from calm, casual to destructive mouth man. Somebody say amen. Sometimes even the behavior went along with that. All that's mental. All that's mindset, if you will. No matter where it came from. Somebody say amen. And then there's the mental oppression called anxiety. Somebody say anxiety. Anxiety is defined as distress or uneasiness of mind caused by fear of danger or misfortune. Amen. You're just anxious because you don't know what's going to happen based upon your state in life, where you are, or what you believe that's going to happen. Somebody say amen. That's mental. That's messing with your mind. That's plenty. Y'all want to shout or y'all want to learn? Somebody say amen. That's mental oppression. Somebody say amen. And then there's worry. Say worry. Worry is a mental oppression. The term worry means torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts. Amen. Here's an example. You know, you went to the doctor. The doctor gave you an unfavorable diagnosis. And instead of you casting that on the Lord and believing the Lord to heal you from that situation, you're just worrying about it all the time. Worrying about it all the time. And the next thing you know, subtraction of life start happening because you're worrying. Somebody say worry. The Bible said cast all your cares upon the Lord. Amen. Because he cares for us. Somebody say amen. But Pastor, you don't know my plight. Whatever the plight is, the Bible says that we can cast our care upon the Lord. Amen. And if I can slip back to anxiety, the Bible says that we're not to be anxious for nothing. If there's something that we're anxious about, we're supposed to talk to the Lord about it. Everything about prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God, and God will give you peace in that situation. He might not always move it or change it, but he'll give you peace to make it through there. And then if you need a little bit of something else, he can give you some grace. Somebody say grace. Grace to make it through. Amen. And then did I say fear? And then fear is a mental oppression, if you will. Especially if there's a spirit of fear there. Somebody say amen. Fear is defined as a distressing emotion, aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc., whether the threat is real or imagined. Some folks are bound by fear in the mind out of imagining what might happen. I can't drive on that freeway because I might get a wreck. Amen. I can't do this because this may happen. It may not happen. But in their mind, they're fearful of that thing because they've look down the road and they believe that they know what's going to happen based upon what they imagine. Somebody say amen. And then there is sin practice that can be mental oppression, if you will. Amen. Some of us can't stop sinning or practicing sin in some areas because we think about it all the time. Well, that's why I say think about it all the time. Never let it out of my mind. Somebody say amen. So we're thinking about it all the time, and that calls us to practice the sin. Amen. Apostle Paul had a wrestle with that, if you will. He talked about that in Romans chapter 7. He said, when I desire to do good, evil is always present. He talked about the flesh contributing to the evil, and then he drew the conclusion that the evil that he was practicing had to do with the sin that was in his mind. Somebody say amen. That's why I've taught you down through the years. We need to get the heart clean every day. We need to get the mind clean every day. Because sometimes we're in bondage mentally to the practices that we see done in our lives outwardly. Somebody say amen. Let's get a little scripture. Go to Romans chapter 7, verse number 23. And I need that in the New Living Translation. Amen. So that's physical oppression, mental oppression, and economic oppression. You need to be listening this morning to find out where you might be and make some changes. Somebody said make some changes. If I mean economically depressed or oppressed, what do I need to do? I need to learn what the people are doing that's not economically oppressed. Amen. If it's legal, somebody say amen. And practice that. Amen. I need to come up by learning, hearing words that they are hearing. Somebody say amen. Whenever I want to be freed in any area, if my mind is too little in an area, I either listen to something different, look at something different, or read something different. I heard on my way to church this morning, what was that song, baby, they were singing about? Take the limits off. Take the limits off. And the Holy Spirit convicted me that I still got limits on God mentally. I think I'm doing a little better. I still got to work on it some more because at the end of the day, the praise team was singing that God can do anything. He can do anything. Sometimes you can say that but really don't believe that. You can say that because the song say it and really don't believe that. Amen. my belief got to catch up with what I've been saying. Amen. Because if I don't, I would limit God even mentally. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter 7, verse number 23, as it relates to the mind having a part in sin practice. Somebody say amen. Paul says, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. And he says, this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still where within me. So it's the sin in the mind that's causing the practice, if you will, amen. You get the mind free of the sin thoughts or the sin thinking in the particular area that you're practicing sin, you can get free. Somebody say amen. And then number six, the devil can cause mental oppression. Let's go to Luke chapter 8 real quick. We know the story of Legion. Legion was a man who was possessed by many demons. And we could see the demon possession by his actions. He lived in the graveyard. He ran around naked. When they tried to lock him down, he broke all the stuff. It was a mental oppression. Somebody said mental oppression. That was a conversation that Jesus had with the demons. They didn't want to be cast into hell at that particular time, so Jesus let them go, and the pigs jumped over in the water, and all the pigs got drowned. But at the end of the day, after Jesus delivered Legion, somebody say Legion, verse number 35, let's see what the scripture says about it. Verse number 35. Then they went out to see what had happened, and came to Jesus and found the man. Somebody say the man Legion, from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was clothed. He had finally put on some clothes. And he was what? In his right mind. Amen. So which means all the stuff that he practiced prior to deliverance was mental. Somebody say mental. The devil had a mental hold on his mind. Somebody say amen. And the devil still has mental holds on a lot of people's mind. Now, one of my daily prayers is, Lord, place a hedge of protection around my mind to protect my mind from any demonic thought that Satan and his emissaries, he got help, would try to place in my mind in this day or any day. Because I understand that he wants to oppress me through mental thoughts, if you will. Somebody say amen. So there, as it relates to the types of oppression, that's physical, mental, and economic, amen. And then there are two types of oppressors. Somebody say two types of oppressors. There is people oppression, and then there is Satan oppression. He is an oppressor. Somebody say amen. Now, the Lord said to me that religion, say religion, or religious leaders can be oppressors. Go to Matthew chapter 23, verse number 6. Number 4. And Jesus was talking to the religious leaders of the day. And he said to them, is that 23:4. He said to them, for they bind heavy burdens. He's talking about the hypocritical religious leaders, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers. So there are religious leaders who keep Christians oppressed by their religious teaching. Now, let me help you. Religious teachers focus on laws. Their faith is in laws. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do that. While Christian teachers who really understand the spirit's freedom is going to focus on relationship. Somebody say relationship. Faith in God through Jesus Christ. Being led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about the fact that if the Holy Spirit leads you, he can lead you away from the lust and the desires of the flesh. Amen. The Holy Spirit can lead you in a way where you can put to death those sinful things that you are or we are doing. Somebody say amen. But you have to understand how the Holy Spirit leads you, and you have to submit to His leading. Somebody say amen. Go to Matthew chapter 11. And I'm about to wrap up. So religious leaders can oppress us. I remember back in the day they said you were saved if you believed in Jesus Christ and spoke in tongues. That was oppressive. Somebody said oppressive. And then there was a group said you need to pray an hour every day, and if you didn't pray an hour every day, you might not be saved. That was oppressive. Somebody said oppressive. And there was a group that said, glory to God, if you practice sin, you wasn't saved. That was oppressive. Because you're saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. So when you mess up, you were going around with your head hung down like you didn't have a friend in the world. Those kind of teachings oppressed people. Say oppressed people. Or you had to read scripture a certain amount of period of time every day. That's oppressive teaching, amen. You start a relationship little at a time. Say little at a time. Even in the natural. When Michael first started dating Kathy, I'm sure they didn't spend as much time as they did after they really got close together. Somebody say amen. It was a gradual building. Say a gradual building. That's even spiritual, if you will. And spiritual teachers will give you some direction as it relates to perhaps how you need to start building a relationship, but not put time restraints on you, if you will. I spend 4 or 5 hours a day with the Lord, but that's because that's where my relationship is, amen. I have the time to do that, but I'm not going to put that on anybody else. Somebody say amen. There are some things that I've taught in the past that I probably won't ever teach anymore because I've grown in my relationship as it relates to even what I teach from the pulpit with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. So there are all kind of oppressive teachings, rules that religious teachers might put on us that shouldn't be there. Somebody say amen. We're talking about walking away from sin, but we shouldn't tell you that you're going to hell if you don't. Somebody say amen, because that's just not true. Somebody say amen. Now, you might be in bondage until you die, but because you practice that sin, and I know I got some folks listening who's probably saying, he's wrong. Well, I'm not wrong. Because you practice a particular sin doesn't mean that you're not saved, amen. See, the soul, somebody say the soul, has to be saved, amen. The soul, here's the way we think, feel, and make the body act, amen. That has to be liberated before your practice is liberated. Does that make sense? We have to be renewed in the mind. Say, renewed in our minds. Before you walk out liberation. You have to learn words of freedom from the scripture. Somebody say amen. So don't oppress me with your rules. Don't oppress me with your rules. Or don't try to oppress me, because now I've learned better. You're probably not going to oppress me with your rules. I thank you for telling me where I'm wrong, but don't tell me I'm going to hell if I don't stop. Because I might tell you, amen. Somebody say amen. Because I know better. I know better. I know better. Somebody say amen. There's some things that I struggle with now that I know I'm going to walk in freedom as I continually renew my mind in the word of the Lord. I'm praying to ask the Lord to help me stop talking so much. Because I'm this type of guy, if I talk, I'm going to ask questions. So I said, Lord, help me to be slow to speak. Because I don't want people not liking me because I ask too many questions. That's who I am. That's what I've learned. So I asked the Lord to help me not to talk so much so I can stop asking so many questions. One of my best friends told me, boy, you ask a lot of questions. That's how I learned. If I want to know something, guess what I do? Guess what I do? I ask a question, amen. One of those smart folks back in the day, he wasn't so smart because he knew everything. He was smart because he knew how to ask the right questions. So I've come to the realization, if I want to keep peace with a lot of folks, I got to stop asking so many questions. I need to be free from that. Somebody say free from that. Amen, amen. So don't put your rules on me, amen, because I know better, amen. I know some preachers are going to have some things to say, and I can teach a little bit more on this, but that's all right. You keep your rules to yourself, amen. So there are even religious oppressors that we need to get from under. Somebody say get from under. Some denominations say, and I got a few more minutes, some denominations say if you're not a part of the denomination, you're going to hell. Some denominations say when you're part of our group, you're part of the real church. That's oppressive teaching. Because I'm running from here to there trying to get in the right place if I don't know no better, because I want to go to heaven, amen. When it's not about where I am, it's about who I'm in. Does that make sense to you? I was thinking about the millennials or running from place to place. And, you know, a lot of pastors have a problem with the millennials leaving. And I thought about that thing, and I guess it was the Holy Spirit that helped me. Millennials are hardly loyal to anything. That's the truth. I mean, if they move from job to job. They move from place to place. It's just the truth. You know, you research them, you'll find. They are loyal to what they are loyal to. Somebody say amen. Some millennials, thank you. Some millennials are. So, you know, so when they leave you, I mean, that's the mindset of some. Somebody say amen. So there are people oppressors. Within the people oppressors, there are religious leaders who are oppressive. And then there's Satan. Say Satan. Somebody say Satan. Last scripture, Acts chapter 10, verse number 38. My time is up. Acts 10, 38. New King James Translation. Talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Good. And healing all those who were oppressed. How? By the devil. For God was with him. Amen. So there's demonic oppression that Jesus can deliver us from by way of supernatural power. If he put supernatural power on some of us to bring people out of that. And then by way of words. Somebody say words. So words. Oh, I hear you, Lord. The Lord said that there are some household leaders that are oppressors. Rule. I've learned recently that we ought to have some values that we live by in our homes. Amen. One of the values ought to probably be family. Another one probably ought to be faith. Another one probably ought to be finances. And maybe you need to have some more. And then you need to let the relationship with folks in your household be governed out of those values. Not by rule. And then we got some oppressive spouses. Yeah, we just want to keep our thumbs on our spouses, if you will, amen. That's oppressing. We need to be delivered from that, amen. So I guess I've said enough today because my words, well, my time has run out, amen. I hope that something was said in this message today that helped, words can liberate us, and we need to learn the right words to say to liberate and not use the wrong words to oppress, if you will. Somebody say amen. Let us pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for your word. For your word is truth. Jesus said that we will know truth and truth will make us free. Thank you, Lord, that you're growing us up. But we're learning how to speak truth in love. And we thank you, Father God, that you continually bless us to do that in Jesus' name. Father, we honor you. We thank you. We give you praise for all things in Jesus' name. We do pray and all agree with that prayer said. Amen. Perhaps there's someone listening today that's not saved. The Bible declares in the book of Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that God raised Jesus from the dead, the scripture declares that you are saved, amen. So we want to confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead so that salvation can become a part of us or a part of our living, a part of our lives. So that's how simple the Bible says it is, and that's what we believe, amen. Somebody say amen. Well, that's all I got to say about that, amen. I thank y'all for joining us this week. We promise you, if the Lord say the same, we'll see you the same time, same place next week. God bless you. Have an awesome week. We love you. Can't wait to see you in Jesus' name. Amen.